Hello and welcome to the East Point Community Church Podcast with Pastor Chris Billiter. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon.
If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be in two chapter 12s today, as a matter of fact. 1 Corinthians 12, then we're going to flip over to Romans 12. And we are going to continue to talk through our series on the community of Christ. And I said last week that we were kind of going to start mid-chapter and then work our way back, which I know is a little bit different. But last week we talked about how we are indeed a community united. I did find it slightly ironic that I made the statement last week that, there are no, whatever that is in the body of Christ, and then to prove the point, Penny lost hers, okay? I'm not sure what that's about, but there you go. But see, here's the thing. Penny's going to be fine without that. She didn't need that. In the body of Christ, each of you are valuable and needed. When we lose someone, it's challenging and it's painful, even if it's for good reasons, because we are a united body of Christ dependent on each other. So that when one part of our body suffers, we suffer with it. When one part of the body rejoices, we rejoice together. That's how united we are. And we talked about how there aren't any, in the great scheme of things, lesser than parts of the body, that each part is equally needed. Even in fact, that those that seem less honorable or less desirable are the ones that receive the most honor. We need each other in every facet. And that is because God in his wisdom gives each of us gifts to be used in the body of Christ. Now, when I say spiritual gifts, how many of you all that are of, let's say, a certain age, and I include myself in this, by the way, immediately hear the word inventory. Spiritual gifts. Anybody remember the spiritual gifts inventory? I mean, these things were huge. Particularly, I think in the 90s may have been their heyday, because by then, not only did we have them, they were easily distributable, right? As a youth at First Baptist Church, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, I can't tell you how many times I took a spiritual gifts inventory. And it was a test, right? You answered, like, it was almost like a dating profile. I'm not real sure, right? You had to answer these questions, and at the end, it would spit out, these are your gifts. And even as a youth, even though our youth pastor taught, well, I don't know. I don't remember if he taught through it or just handed it to us. But, like, as a youth, there was always, like, oh, please be this one. Or, oh, man, I hope it's not that one, man. You know, like, we had this hierarchy of gifts that we thought were, oh, these are the good gifts. And these are, well, oh, you got hospitality. I'm sorry. Mine's prayer. I'll pray for you. And I think that we had this confusion on, like, the value of these things and even what they were, is because we often focus very much on the what and not the why. We focus very much on what the gifts were without focusing on the why of the gifts. So let's do a little bit of both today. Let's talk a little bit about what some spiritual gifts are, but really focus on the why. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1. Paul says this to the church at Corinth. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. Okay, so here immediately, spiritual gifts are a thing, and they are easily, they're something that can be easily confusing. Paul's like, I don't want you to be uninformed. I want you to get this. I want you to understand. Verse 2, you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray by mute idols. However you were led. I love the fact that Paul just makes it abundantly clear what we were without Jesus. Some of us still often fall into that. I was, you know, I needed a little bit of Jesus, but I was good. And Paul's like, who you were pagans. I didn't worship idols. Often we worshiped ourselves without Christ, right? We were far off, guys. Verse 3, therefore I want you to understand Verse 3, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So before we even talk about what some of these spiritual gifts are, we understand that the gifts God give us will always be in line with who God is. Where the Spirit leads us will always be in line with what God has declared is right. This is important. Because when we don't understand this, we can take things that should be spiritual gifts and turn them toward our own self-promotion or own self-satisfaction. I've used this example numerous times in life, but I use it because I think it's a profound example. I was actually talking with someone about this the other day. I distinctly remember a conversation with someone that was frankly just an acquaintance. And they said this: the Lord has led me to leave my wife and start a new ministry with my mistress. And I was like, huh. No, he didn't. No, because the Lord would never lead us to a place that contradicts his word or who he is. It will not happen. It will not happen. You can dress it up and call it whatever you want, but it is not of the Spirit of God if it contradicts the word of God. It is not of the Spirit of God if it contradicts the character of God. So, if we find our giftedness puffing us up and thinking we are better than ourselves, we've gone wrong somewhere along the way. We've either missed what God was doing or we've misappropriated what God was doing. Because no one who speaks in the Spirit is going to say Jesus is accursed. And no one can even say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Let's just talk about this for a minute. We have four passages in the New Testament that generally talk about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, Romans 12, and then 1 Peter we have a little bit as well. And let's go back to your spiritual gifts inventory. It was a finite list of like, oh, these are the ones that the Bible speaks about. And I think it's very helpful to understand those. But I have long believed that the lists in Scripture were never meant to be either be exhaustive or definitive. That they were examples used at a given time. I think many of which still exist today. I'm not saying they're outdated. In fact, and I rarely do this, but I want to get it right, and it's too long of one for me to memorize. Pastor and theologian John Piper says it this way: spiritual gifts are not a limited and defined group of activities spelled out in the New Testament. Rather, spiritual gifts are any ability the Spirit gives you to express your faith in order to strengthen another person. So we're going to talk about the whys in a little bit, but that gives us a little bit of both what and why. But immediately here, we see that there are a variety of gifts. That's why in the body of Christ, it's important for you to not only exist in the body of Christ, but to be active in the body of Christ, because God has given each of us a variety of gifts, but they all come from the same place: the Spirit of God. And verse 5, there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. Again, there are different ways to serve, but they all come from and go to the Lord. Verse 6, there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them in everyone. It's the same God that empowers them in everyone. What are we getting here in these three verses? That there are a variety of gifts, service, and activities. It's multitude. There's a lot of them. But they all come from God and go to the glory of God. This is why spiritual gifts exist. Verse 7, to each to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For the common good. We're about to get into the what's, but we're hitting in the whys here. Why do spiritual gifts exist? For the common good of both your fellow believers and to the general benefit of other people. So, this is where the argument, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Technically, that's absolutely true. Thief on the cross never went to church, right? Didn't have time. But Jesus said, today I'll be with you in paradise. So we understand the gospel is the power of the Lord unto our salvation, right? It is the belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus lived a perfect sinless life. He took on our death. He was punished for our sins, even though he had none of his own. He was dead. He was buried. And God raised him from the dead, defeating death and sin, so that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So yes, I agree that that is a technically true question. But the idea of an individualistic Christianity is completely foreign to the New Testament. The Christian faith throughout the New Testament is always lived out in community that both spurs one another on and serves one another through the gifts of the Spirit that come from God. This is why we have church family. Church family. It's for the common good. And here we get some of those. And those of you that took these inventories back in the day, you'll be like, oh, I remember that one. Verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. Let me just take a break there real quick. I took a lot of these inventories. I was really holy like that in high school, middle school. And I'll be honest with you. My mom, if she were here today, and that sounded bad. If my mom was physically here today and not watching on our stream, she's alive. Okay. Sorry, Mom. She's watching right now. I'm going to get a text about that. She would tell you that he's been 100 since he was born talking about me. I've just always, so even as a middle schooler, wisdom always showed up high on my spiritual gifts. And I'm telling you that for a reason. If any of you know a middle schooler, you know that could only be of the Spirit of God. And it was particularly true of this middle schooler. Okay? The utterance of wisdom. And to another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. How many of y'all took a Lifeway spiritual gifts inventory and healing wasn't on yours because we were real Southern Baptists, right? That's another thing, right? Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of those tongues. So here we just have a sampling of gifts. And the sampling of gifts is very, very important to get this. It was so necessary for these things to happen in that time because this was in the earliest stages of the church. Where God was still showing the world through his earliest believers the validity of the testimony of the apostles. So just as the Gospel of Mark is almost entirely focused on showing the power of Christ over the created order through miracles, we see this time and time again in Mark. Some of these earliest gifts in the church are so that the testimony of the apostles, the testimony of Paul, and the testimony of these earliest believers can be validated into an unbelieving world so that they can understand these things. Verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. who apportions to each one individually as he wills. We're going to talk more about the as he wills in just a second. But what we know from 1 Corinthians 12 is that God, based on his good and perfect will, gives spiritual gifts to those people that are believers in Jesus Christ. Not only do we get the very Holy Spirit of God as a seal and as a promise of what is to come, as a testimony to God's faithfulness, we also get gifts from that Spirit to empower us to live our lives for the common good of both our fellow believers and the world around us. All right, let's do a little class participation time real quick, okay? This is always fun. All right, raise your hand if you took a spiritual gifts inventory at one point in your life. Raise your hand if you still remember one of your gifts from that inventory. Okay, Jill? Compassion, great. All right, Lance? Leadership, shocking, right? Leadership, okay, Deborah? Wisdom, okay? Discerning, okay? Hospitality, I'll pray for you. Kelly, service? Yeah, hospitality. Yeah, the reason I picked on hospitality is because I knew that was my wife's. Yes, Deb? Encouragement, yeah. Look, all these things are good and wonderful. And they're to be used for the common good. Now, here's another question. Those of you that, let's say you took one of these earlier in your life, and if you were to take one today, how many of y'all would think some of those have changed a little bit? It's okay. Yeah. You want to know why? Because you're at a different place in life, in a different context, and God equips you for where you are now. I'm not saying they have to change, but let's take this a little bit. I was, this really sounds weird to some of you. From the time I was saved, I just had lunch Friday with a guy named Mark Logston and his wife Janice. I'm doing a little trip for him, and they needed to give me something for that trip. Mark was my music minister at First Baptist Lawrenceburg. I had eight different people between full-time youth ministers and interims. I had eight different people lead my youth ministry in the time that I was there from 7th grade to 12th grade. Mark was the constant. And that guy invited me to sing in the youth choir. And then he invited me to sing in the adult choir. And then he invited me to sing in the Hymns of Harmony men's choir, because I sounded like this by the time I was in ninth grade. And that, because of that, I made something called the Kentucky Baptist All-State Youth Choir. And I sang in the advanced choir in my high school because of Mark. And by the time I got to college, I was leading worship vocally for about 300 people on a regular basis at our WKU BCM. Here's what I want you to get. The first 9 years of my Christian walk, to whatever extent it was for the common good of the church, and that's debatable, to whatever extent it was for the common good, one of the primary ways that God gifted me in that time was through the act of singing. From the time I graduated Western, with the exception of the occasional jumping up on stage when the choir was singing "The Majesty and Glory of Your Name," I've hardly sang in any kind of organized way since then. So I was wrong about those early days? Or am I wrong now? Or does God give us gifts for the times and places specific to where we are to build up the church for the common good of the church? It was singing, and occasionally, and by the time I got to college, I never will forget, I've told people this, the first time Jeff Carlisle, Living Hope Baptist Church, asked me to teach Sunday school for his middle school group one time, and it was awful. I just fell so flat on my face. So, like, it was singing and, like, occasionally teaching. I mean, what slowly happened over the years Wow, God's gifted me to do this more and more and more and more. Because that's the role he's called me to and the place that he's put me in for this time. And God does that as he wills. So we can depend on him. So it's not so much about this specific list, it's about the why. And to understand the why just a little bit more, let's go to Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. Again, Paul writes this time to the church at Rome, saying, For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. It's a good reminder, even as we're talking about giftedness, it's not about you. So I speak at Crossings every summer, and I speak there like I speak here. I've got the Bible on a screen in the back, and that's about it. And it's really started to happen more the past couple years. Young guys will come up to me. I was sharing this with someone just yesterday. Oh, tell me your process and how you do that. You didn't have to laugh that hard, Deborah. And I try to come up with something, but at the end of the day, I tell them this. I think because God has placed me in a role where I'm bivocational and where I'm doing this other thing and I don't have 20 to 30 hours a week for sermon prep, I think I just say, here's what I do and this is how I do it, but ultimately it's because of the power of the Spirit of God at work within me. I can't tell you, oh, follow these five steps and you can do this. Guys, the minute we start thinking our giftedness is about us, we've missed the point of the giftedness and where it comes from. He ought to not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. So again, we have this clear picture of God doing as he wills in our giftedness, in our faith. Verse 4, for as in one body we have many members. Okay, so again, there is the community united. The community united. And the members do not all have the same function. Verse 5, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. It is so important to the health of the local church that you are exercising the gifts that the Spirit of God has given you. Because if we aren't, we're wasting the good gifts of God. We're wasting the good gifts of God. We're many in one body and individually members of one another. Verse 6. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. It is designed by God for us to have different gifts that are to be used for the common good of the church and the world around us. So, let us use them. Let us use them. I believe I've told y'all before about Juanita Sutherland. Juanita Sutherland was my algebra teacher at Anderson County High School. She was an amazingly gifted teacher. So much so that I understood advanced algebra because of her. But when Miss Sutherland got mad, look out. I mean, this was a woman in her 70s, and she'd come at you, and it would put, like, a profound fear in you. And part of her spiel was, you're not going to sit in my classroom, breathe my air like a bump on a pickle. I don't need you. You need me. Here's your hat. There's the door. Get out of my class. That was her spiel. One time she gave it to the guy right in front of me, and I thought she was coming at me. I almost cried. But that phrase, sitting there like a bump on a pickle. How many of us have been gifted by God in specific ways for the good of the body of Christ, and we're just sitting there like a bump on a pickle? Not utilizing what has been gifted to us. Let us use the gifts. So if your gift is prophecy, then use it in proportion to your faith. And I love that. I love this idea in proportion to our faith. Because when I was younger, If God had called me when I was 14 or 15 to get up and preach, I would have been like, no. Thanks anyway. Because my faith was not yet strong enough. God was faithful to grow my faith to where I could eventually get up and stand in front of people knowing that I wasn't doing it in my own power, but in His, right? In proportion to our faith. Verse 7, if service, then in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. Use the gifts that God has given you. Verse 8, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, then do it in generosity. The one who leads, do it with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Guys, let's be clear. So many of these things are things that every Christian should be doing already, right? But we can acknowledge that God, in his grace, gives some of us an extra measure to step up and use these gifts in a more profound way in accordance with the faith that he has given us. So God has gifted us as the body of Christ, as one body, the community united, to be the community gifted. The community gifted. When we use that term gifted today, most of us think of it in terms of kids at school, right? Oh, they're gifted. They're gifted. She's not here, so I can talk about her. Soph was reading at age 3. Like, legit. Reading. And people would be like, what did you do? And we'd be like, I don't know. We didn't have a program. We just pointed back to God. We've got this other kid. He is here. So I can talk about him. Sorry, it works both ways. Profoundly smart kid. And a lot of y'all don't know this yet, but kid just is a singer. He's just a singer. People be like, what'd you do? We just point back to God. The God who made him this way. The God who gifted him this way. And so then we point him to use those gifts. We point himself to use those gifts for the one that gave them to her, but to do it for the glory of God. To not waste the gift given. Look, I'm not against spiritual gift inventories. I just want you to remember that God's far more creative than a singular list. And he uses different gifts at different times in our life depending on where we are and what he's calling us to do. But he has gifted you. And he's gifted you for a purpose. To glorify him and to proclaim his son. To glorify the Father and proclaim his son. This is why we have gifts. So use them. Use whatever of those gifts that are given to you by the Spirit to point people to Jesus, to give honor and glory to the Father, so that others, in seeing your good works, may point to the one who allows you to do them. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that you have gifted us. Lord, help us to have clarity on our gifts, but help us to not get caught up that it has to be one of these 14 things. That you and your goodness have given us examples in your word that are meant to be examples. But Lord, in your vast creativity, you, by your Spirit, gift us things at different times in our lives in different ways for the common good of the church and the world around us. So, Lord, help us to use those gifts so that others may hear about Jesus, so that others might know your Son and therefore might be reconciled to you. Father, thank you for all the good that you do in us. We pray this in Christ. Amen. We're going to sing a song of response today, and here's my goal for you. is that you would just sing in praise to the one who has, first of all, saved you. If you are in Jesus Christ, if you have confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, then God's gifted you for a purpose. And if you haven't done that, if you've yet to believe in Jesus and you have questions about, hey, what does it mean to really believe in Jesus? Like, believe that he existed, or is there something more? It is, that he's Lord. That he's Lord. If you have questions about what that means, I'm going to be saying it in the back, and I'd love to talk to you. But if you know this, then we encourage you to use this time to praise the one that has saved you and praise the one that has gifted you, and then commit to that one. To use the gifts that he's given you for his glory and for the good of those around. Let's stand. Let's worship. You respond. And if you're ready to join the church and use those gifts here, come see me. We'd love to have you.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. If you're in the Louisville area, we would love to see you in person at our weekly service, Sundays at 10 a.m. In the meantime, grace and peace, and we hope you'll join us again soon.